All right, we're getting ready to begin our next panel, which is the new Jim Crow, Marijuana Prohibition. Our first speaker is Harry Levine, PhD from Queens College. We have Ms. Jasmine Tyler from Drug Policy Alliance, Neil Franklin, Executive Director of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, LEAP. Yes, and Ms. Alice Huffman, President of the California NAACP. So we've got a great panel. Let's get ready, and we're going to start off with Harry.
It's an honor to be here, to be on this panel. What we really have here is maybe the first major league coming together of the marijuana reform movement, of the movement against marijuana prohibition and drug prohibition in general, and the civil rights movement. It's absolutely important and absolutely historical, and I'm just delighted to be here. We have Alice Huffman from the California NAACP, who has made history, and I'll talk a little bit about that. We've got Neil Franklin, the head of LEAP, an extraordinary stepping up at an extraordinary moment, and Jasmine Tyler from Drug Policy Alliance, all hosted by Mara Martinez. We have extraordinary people of color panel here. I'm the white nerd who gets to run you through some slides and tell you a little bit about what's happened. And I want to talk about my own research and what some other people have been doing. Let's see if I can figure this one out here. All right, this is normal's marijuana arrest in the United States. You see it rises in the early 1970s, kind of levels out, drops in the early 1990s. That's because of crack, because the police were focused heavily on crack cocaine, not because they got nice about marijuana. And a stunning, absolutely breathtaking rise ever since, going up and up and up. We are still in the middle of a major marijuana arrest crusade in the United States. This is what happened in New York City, where I come from. Marijuana was decriminalized in New York in 1977, and the police sort of respected it for about 20 years. And then starting in 1997 with Giuliani, it rose and rose, dropped a little bit after 2001 because the police had some other things to do, but has climbed again. 2009 isn't on there, but it's up to 46,000, second highest year ever. We're going to move them fast here. Here's four mayors of New York City and the average marijuana arrest per year for each one of them. Bloomberg has now passed Giuliani. Let's talk about race. This is a United States government national survey, household survey, national survey, ages 18 to 25, whites, blacks, Latinos, going back to 2003, you can go back further than that, young whites use marijuana at higher rates than blacks and Latinos. It is true everywhere. It is true for every year. It is true across the board. Whites use marijuana at higher rates than young blacks and Latinos. This is the arrest in New York City, two decades. About a little over 50% of the people in New York are black or Latino. About nearly 90% of the arrests in New York City are blacks and Latinos. Non-Hispanic whites, as the census calls them, are about 36% of the population in New York. In 2009, they were less than 10% of the arrests. This gives you a breakdown by years, going back to 1986, I think it is. The 2009 figures, again, are up, and apparently, by all counts, the 2010 figures are up. We may even break the Giuliani's record year of 2000. Blacks are getting arrested in New York City at 7 times the rate of whites. Latinos are getting arrested in New York City at 3 to 4 times the rate of whites. Overwhelmingly young people. How do they do it? The cops heavily patrol in New York City and most other cities disproportionately in only certain neighborhoods called high crime neighborhoods. Overwhelmingly, these are low-income Black and Latino neighborhoods. They do loads of stop and frisks. They stop cars. They stop pedestrians. They pat them down, and they search them. They illegally go into their pockets, or they trick them into bringing out marijuana, and they make the arrests. We're making about 100 a day in New York City for over 13 years, well into the 14th year right now. There's somebody being stopped a few blocks from my house, actually. These are pictures from Flickr on the web from New York City. We've gotten some very good coverage. Deborah Small and I did a report for the New York Civil Liberties Union called Marijuana Arrest Crusade. We got some very good coverage of it. We've done some other stuff. We've tried to make noise and raise hell in New York about it. And the newspapers are very reluctant to cover it, but columnists will. The newspapers are afraid of the police departments, and they're in debt to them. But columnists have some freedom. Jim Dwyer is a Metro Desk columnist for the New York Times, and he wrote this absolutely terrific piece last December, less than a year ago, White Smoke, Pot, But Blacks Get Arrested, is the story of New York City and, as I'm going to show you, most other cities in the United States. What's happening in New York is happening everywhere. Now, the next thing I'm going to show you is data that I have not publicly released. It's been privately distributed. We're going to come out with a report probably in 2011, in the spring, on this. You probably can't read all these names, but this is 44 major cities in the United States. There's Baltimore, Atlanta, Baltimore up at the top of the list. You got San Antonio. We got Pittsburgh, Philadelphia. You go all the way down. In every major city in the United States, blacks are getting arrested at 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 times the rate of whites. In every major city in the United States, in counties, across the board, up and down, over and under, everywhere. This shows you the percentage of the population in each of those cities, who is black, and the percentage of the marijuana arrestees who are black. And again, blacks constitute somewhere between 10%, 15%, 25% the population, and 50% to 75% of the arrests. Everywhere. And they're all young people. The blue line is teenagers, about 25% to 40%. The yellow line is the 20 to 24-year-olds. It's another 20%, 25%. And the last line, the black line, is 25 to 29. 85% of the people being arrested in the United States are under 30 years of age. Mostly, again, overwhelmingly black and Latino teenagers. At April, I now work with Lawrence Siegel, formerly of the ACLU. In April, we had heard from a fellow by the name of Rob Rooks of the NAACP that Alice Huffman, the head of the California NAACP, was going to endorse Proposition 19. Because I've been doing this for a while, because we've been working on this, we know what that meant. And I have that national FBI. This is FBI data. The previous data I've been showing you here, let's do that again. This is FBI data, Uniform Crime Report data. It does not include Latinos. The FBI, federal government, does not count Latinos as a racial group. So actually, folded in those pink lines for the white people are all the Latino arrests as well. The racial disparities are even greater than this shows. But we had this information for California, and we knew what it was going to be. I had not met Alice Huffman and did not talk to her. I met her only this last August for the first time. Terrific, but I followed her very closely. And we knew what she was going to do in coordination with the Drug Policy Alliance, with the people from the Marijuana Initiative, Dale Geringer, Chris Conrad, Nick McNorris, that did terrific jobs in sort of preparing the grounds. There was an astonishing press conference held on June 29th. I want to tell you about that. But these are the graphs that we put into this. We made a little report for California called Targeting Blacks in California for Marijuana. This is the 25 largest counties in California, 90% of the population. In every one of them, blacks are getting arrested at double, triple, or quadruple the rate of whites. This is the percentage of blacks in the county population and the percentage of blacks who are arrested for marijuana in each one of those 25 counties. And again, everywhere, everywhere. And there's probably a couple hundred police departments represented in these grass. These are counties. So this is not a fluke. This is not the problem of sort of individual racist police officers someplace. This is what we call the system-wide phenomenon occurring in every county and in nearly every police department. It's across the board. We released a report when Alice Huffman had her press conference. There was a report there released through the Drug Policy Alliance. Stephen Gutwillig did a fabulous job in helping us put this together. It's on the web. You can find all this stuff. You can Google my name or Google targeting blacks for marijuana, and you'll find this report. And we raised a shitstorm. Alice created news. The San Francisco Chronicle wrote a terrific piece. California NAACP backs marijuana measure. Capital Weekly, the big newspaper of the Sacramento, the California Capitol, did a very good story about this. The Washington Post covers the California NAACP and backing legalization. The Los Angeles Times, LA Weekly pulled out the LA County data from our report. Talks about how in LA County blacks are 10% of the population, 40% of the arrests in LA County. Reason Magazine, Reason.com, God bless him, Jacob Sullum, I sent him the stuff and he put it up almost immediately, blasted it out. Alice wrote a fantastic op-ed piece put out in the Huffington Post, a really terrific, important piece that needs to be widely distributed. CNN covered what happened. Washington Post, a syndicated columnist, did a major piece. California, the odious history of marijuana laws. Again, because the California NAACP and Alice Huffman had come out and done this. I think that sometimes people wince when I say this, but I want to call Alice Huffman the Rosa Parks of marijuana reform in the civil rights movement. She said enough. She said enough. What? She said that. She's right to her own line. She said Rosa Parks sat down. She said, I stood up. A number of black journalists and black leaders came out, stood up after Alice did, had not done so before. This is a piece in the Huffington Post by a fellow who runs a thing called Black Commentator, serious sort of political website. Julian Bond spoke out because of Alice Huffman. Hillary Shelton, the NAACP's lobbyist on Capitol Hill, has been privately absolutely supportive, but because of Alice, he came out. The National Black Police Association, I've been attending their meetings for years, they're a terrific group of people, they knew about this, but because of Alice, they came out. And the coverage, that's just a taste. We did this report on New York City, did a 100-page report. We got some pretty good coverage, but we did a 12-page report and Alice and the press conference, and this has blasted all over the place, including The Economist talking about this. The Economist reports that the early polling showed blacks in California were opposed to Proposition 19. They are now, I believe, the single strongest demographic group in California in favor of Proposition 19. We have a police department data, which we're going to try to release in a report within the next month, a follow-up to this one to blast another hole in this god-awful system. We have California state data. There's a real problem with Latino data. Police, many places systematically misrepresent code Latinos as whites so they don't show up in the criminal justice database, especially for the marijuana arrests. But we're going to try to put together something for Southern California, showing in L.A. County and some of the counties around there that Latinos are getting arrested at substantially higher rates than whites as well. Try to punch another hole in that system. Anybody is in cities and counties where the substantial black population, you can find me, come talk to me. We have some data. We want to make alliances with people, and we want to continue to push this. I think that the wall has fallen down. The ceiling has collapsed. The civil rights movement is going to come more and more into this. There's a fight within that movement. Make no mistake about it. There is a fight within that movement. There are pastors who, ministers, this strong constituency of the civil rights movement, and they've been fiercely anti-drug. That sometimes takes interesting turns. There's a guy named Ron Elder who came out immediately after Alice, demanding she resign from the NAACP, that she was a disgrace. He attacked her up, down. At first I thought, what the hell is this guy getting all this noise and attention? But he was so foolish. He was really a sort of a clown. That actually he made it easier. And so he and Alice could go on television together, and Alice just chewed him up. She chewed him up, she chewed him down, and spit him out again. The New York Times did a big story about this, leading with the Reverend Ron, but given Alice and the story legs and so on. So sometimes even that works in our favor as well. It's a really terrific thing. The other piece of the civil rights movement that it seems to me has been a resistance here is that the civil rights movement was founded in the early 20th century, or the NAACP in particular, to remove barriers to equality for education, for housing, for jobs, schools. And we marijuana reformers come along and drug policy reformers come along and say, you know, blacks are getting arrested at much higher rates than whites for possessing and using marijuana or other drugs. And they say, let's get this straight. Your drug users and your drug addicts, or rather, black drug users and drug addicts are getting treated unfairly compared to white drug users and drug addicts? Our riffraff is getting treated worse than your riffraff? That's not our issue. We're about removing barriers, not making sure that the riffraff get treated equally. That's the old guard. But there is a new generation within the civil rights movement, within the NAACP, and the staff is absolutely with us on this one, and more people are going to become too. So welcome to the brand new age of marijuana reform when the movement becomes colored.